Hey, I'm Tom Riello, the chair of theology at Montgomery Catholic Preparatory School.
And I'm Father Patrick Gilbreth, the parochial vicar at Holy Spirit Parish in Montgomery, Alabama.
Capital of dreams there, Father.
Capital of dreams. Learning that more and more every single day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Capital of dreams. Today, we are risking, Father, we are risking, we're going to lose half our audience if we're not careful.
But our reward will be great in heaven.
Amen, amen. We are going to talk about that vaunted topic, giving. Or otherwise known as cutting a check or throwing money in the basket to the church or
That's
Archangel
the,
Radio.
Or the colloquial phrase, yes.
But how giving and these opportunities that we have to give, and yes, financially give, how we really do need, I think, as Catholics to change our thinking about that. And you've got a couple of thoughts, especially rooted in Scripture, concerning the topic of giving.
Yes, and just before I kind of dive into to some of our Scripture references here, we're talking about this. We're recording this in a time of the pandemic. You know, we're recording this in a time where across the board, not just our diocese, but, you know, I've talked to priest friends in different all over the country. And, you know, tithing, charitable giving is at a low because of the pandemic. And you know, the first thing that I think pops into our head when we bring this topic up is that question of guilt. You know, oh, you know, they're just trying to guilt us in giving money. And that is not the case. You know, like the giving of our monetary goods, which we will get into, but kind of really equates to, you know, the way that we're supposed to live our lives, this idea of self-sacrifice. And especially at a time now when a lot of people are under hard times, I think this topic is ever so more important because there is a connection to tithing, to giving, to being charitable, and also to the way that we, you know, can relate to the Lord. So if we're under hard times, you know, don't think of tithing as the enemy, but it is a way to encounter God in a more full way and free us more and more to be open to living a life completely dedicated to the way that the Lord wills it. So that's my little plug. We'll get there. But yeah, I just kind of want to dive in here to a few different passages from Scripture to set the tone. So our first, and I'm just going to quote it directly, our first passage we're going to talk about here, Tom, is from Malachi, one of the prophets, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. And I'm reading from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8. Can anyone rob God? But you are robbing me. And you say, how have we robbed you of tithes and contributions? You are indeed accursed, for you, the whole nation, rob me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I do not open the floodgates of heaven for you and pour down upon you blessing without measure. That again was from the book of Malachi, chapter 3. And I think the beauty of what the prophet is telling us is that the Lord is desperately willing to open the floodgates of heaven. He is desperately willing to give us blessings and graces. And obviously, you know, giving money is not, you know, I'm not trying to be like super, you know, heretical here and saying like, we're not saying you have to give money in order for God to bestow graces upon you. No. But that idea of self-sacrifice, of giving of what we gain is so important because if we hold on to anything, not just money, if we hold on to, you know, property or goods, you know, and we're not willing to give up some of that, we will not open our hearts to the storehouse of heavenly grace that God is trying to pour into our lives, the divine economy of salvation that we're entered into, you know.
I love how you put those words, though, together, desperately wanting. It reminds me of a great quote from an Italian priest, and you know I have to get a Giussani quote in there, but the great Monsignor Luigi Giussani, who famously said, the greatest beggar in the world is Jesus Christ, who begs for the soul of every man and woman. And so the great act of begging is God. God is the great beggar. He begs for your soul and for mine, and we see that in that passage in Malachi. God is not upset. God doesn't need, quote unquote, their money. What God is saying to them there is, you're holding back from me out of fear. You're not trusting me to open up the floodgates and just flood you with the graces, because it's an act of distrust on their part, right? We have to hoard what we have because we don't know. And we actually see that with the manna, right? The Lord said, not to hoard it. Don't hoard it, right? Because that reveals a heart that is closed off. And I think that's something that we have to really keep in mind.
And yeah, I think this idea kind of translates into a lot of different things. You know, tithing, yes, but even like sin, you know, even something not as tangible as cold hard cheddar. Like, we hold on to things. It's our human nature to try to, like, make ourselves comfortable with sin, with possessions, with ignorance. You know, it's like we hold on to these things so desperately. But what God is asking and you know, calling us to do is to let go. And there's such a freedom in that, you know, whether that's let go of our sinfulness or let go of, you know, our possessions. You know, we're called to let go. I mean, St. Francis of Assisi kind of, you know, he's the greatest example of you know, poverty, right? And in body, the saint who literally stripped naked in front of his father and the whole town of Assisi and says, look, like, I give everything I am and everything I have to you, Lord. And look what God did. And look what he did through St. Francis. And obviously, we're not all called to do that. We're all called in various ways. And God's not saying, you know, he's not against having money or being, you know, supportive or, you know, supporting a family or buying whatever. It's just the attitude of stripping back everything that gets in the way of God opening up the storehouse of his grace of heaven is what this is really about. And obviously, tithing is a very physical, as we have been talking about, a very, very monetary, very physical way of doing that. So that is what we are trying to claim here. Tom, I just want to jump into another passage of scripture that we talked about that I think is very good to help put this question of tithing, of self-giving into context. And that is the passage of the poor widow in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. This is the widow who gave from her poverty. So I'm going to read it in full here. This is Mark chapter 12. He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." That was again from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, really hitting that point home of the idea of, you know, giving ourself. That is what tithing is about. Like the widow who gave these two coins, she gave and it hurt more than the rich people who gave a large sum of money, yes, but it didn't hurt them, you know, because they weren't really sacrificing. Where the widow gave all that she had, but the Lord says that out of her poverty is where she will shine more fully than the rich people of the time who gave, you know, out of their surplus. She gave out of her poverty, right, which is exactly what our Lord has done for us.
Yep, she gave out of need, not out of want. You know, she did not give out of the reserve, the leftovers, and then give it to God. She gave her very self. And I think that is such an important point to remember, right? I mean, I think the temptation that I face in my faith is, well, let me just cut a check and leave me alone. Or let me just checkbox this. Oh, you want me to sign up for stewardship weekend and give up my time to help out with fill in the blank with whatever that is? Well, that's great. Now, get off my back about giving because, you know, I'm already giving and in the way I'm doing it. And all of those mindsets, Father, and I think this is really, I think, the heart of a lot of this talk. Those are reductionisms. The temptation is always to want to reduce this encounter with the living God made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit into something I can control, even to the point where my faith can become a kind of idol. It's not my faith in the living God, the God of surprises. It's my faith in my faith of whatever it is that I think I need to, almost kind of like what the Pharisees were tempted to do, which was to put on a show. And I think that's always dangerous. And I love that story that you just shared about the widow's mite because she's a mess. And everybody there sees her as a mess. A widow in that culture, and you know, we've studied the scriptures and the biblical data. Widows were, they were as good as dead in that world. And She gave everything she had. So this isn't just somebody who had something left over and gave. This is somebody who gave to the point of her very life.
Yeah, and just that idea is so beautiful to translate into our spiritual lives, you know, wider. And that's kind of what we're claiming, that this idea of tithing cannot be separated from our spirituality, because tithing of our goods, of our money, you know, of these things that everyone across the history of you know, the world, you know, like goods, like that's kind of what we gather together, you know, ever since the dawn where we became hunter-gatherer. We shifted from, you know, the hunting mentality in antiquity to, you know, to gathering and crops. It's just like we have become a people where our worth is in the amount of things that we can have and the amount of things that we can, you know, like Tom was saying, reduce. But if we can have the attitude, the mindset, the spirituality of the widow who gave out of her poverty, the Lord will allow us to live a life of flourishing authenticity, because he will fill us up with the good things that he is to give to us. We're not filling ourselves up with what we are trying to gather, but we are emptying ourselves properly so that we can be filled up by the very things that the Lord will sustain us with that will last forever. Because money's fleeting.
And we see this, and you made this point, the spiritual, right? We sow in the physical realm, my time, talent, treasure, so that we might reap a harvest spiritually. And, you know, one of the things I just want to say about the Archdiocese of Mobile, you know, Archbishop Brody, we have this campaign that we're going through, still going on. And something I said it on LA Catholic Morning, I said it even when we started the campaign, I knew we would surpass the $30 million ask. I am very confident we're going to get very close to the $40 million. It shows what kind of people we have in this diocese in the middle of a pandemic, that our people are still giving.
Yeah.
But this is my, and I know this is where I lost half the audience now. Riello, you just threw a butt in there. But, okay, so you're not happy with the $30 million to $40 million? Listen, I give thanks to God every day. But there's always that sense we can do more. And by more, I don't mean just adding more money, but it's part of that. And what I mean by that is, when you look at places like Wichita, when you give to the point of where it hurts, the Diocese of Wichita, and I know a number of you out there might be familiar with this, since the 1980s, the Diocese of Wichita has been on what's called a tithing program, and everybody buys into it, no pun intended there, from the parish level to the diocesan level. And this is important, folks. This is important. Everybody has to be bought in. It can't just be one parish or two parishes. It can't just be the diocesan apparatus. It has to be everybody has to buy into it. Well, for over 30 years, they bought into it. And so what's happened is, through all that time of paying forward, if you will, through all that time of that giving, if you want to go to a Catholic school in the Diocese of Wichita, you don't pay a single dime for it. You don't pay a dime for it. Now, what has happened? What has happened is, over the years, for a diocese that is about twice our size, it's about 115,000 Catholics, there are 12 24/7 adoration chapels. Wow. The parish demographics are 50% of the parishes have at least two priests. About 25% have three priests. Another 15 to 20% have one priest, where maybe they're kind of out in the some of the more rural areas. No parish is staffed by multiple priests. Well, by one priest is not doing multiple parishes. This is big. What we have seen over the last number of years is, per capita, they are leading the nation in ordinations. They've had 25 men ordained to the priesthood just in the last 3 years. This is what happens. When you reap the physical, you get a bounty of the spiritual. See, the TV people, I hate to say it, they want you to send off to them the physical giving that you have so they can buy Learjets because God told them to buy a Learjet. I can assure you, Archbishop Rohde ain't flying around with a Learjet, but that would be pretty cool. He's driving on I-65. He says this all the time. Do not pray for me. Pray for my car, right? That's what the giving is that we're talking about.
And I would just say real quick here before we have to go into a station ID, but the Archdiocese of Mobile, you mentioned this, Tom, we are very blessed with a lot of spiritual fruits. And a lot of that is because of the generosity of the parishioners and the diocesan members. And I think we have to be, you know, Wichita is great, yes. But we in the Archdiocese are also very fortunate. But as we're claiming, you know, there's always room for more growth and more depth in our spiritual lives here. So
yeah, that's one of the things. And we're going to do a station ID here. I just got word from the suits down in Fairhope. Hey, where's that ID coming? And, well, we're going to do one. Archangel Radio, you are listening on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM or 94.5 FM. That's terrestrially. That's in your car. That's in your home. Or you are listening on the World Wide Web at archangelradio.com. Or you are listening in my preferred way to listen, which is by the Archangel Radio app. Go to your favorite Play Store. Download the app. It's just like you're right there in your car. You just plug it into your car, auxiliary cord, and you get to listen to all wonderful shows, Water Cooler Catechism. You get to listen to Archbishop Rohde's show. You get to listen to L.A. Catholic Morning. So many wonderful opportunities, and I think that's the great thing about Archangel Radio is that it really does shrink the diocese. And, you know, that goes back to kind of what we're talking about today, the tithing, the giving. You know, one of the things that I remember reading about when I first got here in the diocese in 06, we had been talking about the opportunity to establish Catholic radio. And it, you know, it seemed like a crazy idea, though. Like, well, how is a diocese our size going to be able to support this? Well, that's one of the things that you have to do. On some level, you have to be crazy enough to think that you can do it because God is calling you to. That's kind of the mentality. Archbishop Rohde has a great line. I've heard him give it many times. He says that we have the money to do what it is we need to do. The only issue right now is it's in your pockets.
That's so true.
I love that line.
And yeah, Tom,
it's a great line.
One of the things I think, you know, kind of maybe more practically here, that people are often afraid of, from what I hear, of, you know, tithing is the sort of unknownness to where their money actually goes. Because I do think there's a lot of falsity that gets floated around about where our money
Excellent
actually
point.
Goes. And, you know, I will say, you know, from my perspective as a priest at, you know, Holy Spirit Parish, you know, we do a lot that's more than just kind of paying the power bills and paying for, like, bread and wine to celebrate the sacraments. I mean, that's part of our fight. Like, that has to be done, you know. Like, for instance, we have started for the past couple of weeks at Holy Spirit, we've started adoration from Wednesday morning until Wednesday afternoon because the Adoration Chapel in Mobile is shut down because of COVID. So we're paying for, you know, lights, electricity, candles, like all these things so that we can worship our Lord. We also have, you know, tons of ministries that we support, the Holy Spirit Parish, just the ministries that we have, you know, on campus, like youth group. We have your own Bible study that you lead, our faith formation classes that our DRE, you know, she puts on Sundays, and all parishes have kind of these similar things. Different ministries, you know, we have a women's ministry, we have the senior ministry, you know, a lot of this is shut down now because of the coronavirus pandemic. But, you know, when we're kind of in full swing, we have a lot. And tithing supports all that. So practically,
St. Vincent de Paul Society.
St. Vincent de Paul, yeah.
95, folks, listen to this. 65 families every single week depend on something from the St. Vincent de Paul Society out of Holy Spirit Parish. 95 families, when you add the additional 30 families, twice a month.
And they do a Thanksgiving meal. They've been packing for probably
over 120 families
that they, you know, they, where does that money come from? You know, it comes from the parish, which comes from, you know, the pockets. And also too, one of the things that is a big expense for each parish for a good reason is the cathedraticum, which is the quote unquote diocesan tax that every parish has to send to the diocese. And again, I think people hear this and say, oh, well, the big brother is taking our money. No, that's not necessarily what the cathedraticum, this is actually a pet peeve, you know, because the cathedraticum supports these bigger diocesan initiatives like Catholic social services, which we have a full-time, like, Deacon Raymond Garay, who's a deacon at Holy Spirit. He's the director of Catholic Social Services, and they have, you know, their all the services that they do comes from diocesan support, which comes from the Catharaticum. Or, you know, now we have the Generations of Faith campaign, which is helping out with this. But, you know, seminarian education, retired priests, this is all, you know, things that the Generation of Faith campaign are now going to pick up on so that the Catharaticum can be low. But also the diocese has different offices. The offices, you know, for child protection, that's funded by the Catharaticum, which is so very important in today's world for that to be fully functioning. And Pat Ahrensberg and his Family Life Initiative, and he goes around and he does all these catechetical initiatives. So, like, our money is not just put in some bank somewhere. You know, the money practically that we tithe, it's use, you know?
And that's one of the things, it's the thing I love about Archbishop Brody, and the thing I love about the Archdiocese of Mobile, that's the thing I love about the people in the Archdiocese of Mobile, our priests in the Archdiocese of Mobile, is that the blessing, and again, I don't mean to take any cheap shots out there against some other diocese, but there are a number of dioceses out there that are, if I was a Catholic in that diocese, I probably would not be willing to give to my diocese because of some situations in which, where was my money going? And in some cases, money was going out to pay lawsuit settlements, or they were not being good stewards with the money. And, you know, but the great thing about Archbishop Brody, and this is something he has done from day one that he's been in his diocese, Archbishop Brody is probably the most transparent leader politically, ecclesially, culturally. He is transparency on steroids. There is no hiding anything. Because if you're doing what is right, you don't have to hide anything. Montgomery Catholic, I work at Montgomery Catholic. We hide nothing. Our books are placed out there for everybody to see. We publish them. We make them very accessible. We don't play the game of like, well, if you want to know, you have to. No. We don't make them go through 17 hoops to find, because we have nothing to hide. That's the blessed reality of being in this diocese. And I think that's key in terms of living an authentic faith life, because when you are giving over your time, talent, and treasure, you're risking something. And that kind of brings us up to the rich young ruler who, compared to the widow's mite, you know, kind of touch on that, Father, with the rich young ruler and his unwillingness, if you will, to risk compared to the widow who did risk.
Yeah, so we're talking about the widow we read in Mark 12, and now we're talking back in Mark 10, the rich young man, famous passage, which I think is in all three of the synoptics, if I'm thinking the right correlation there. But the rich young man, I'm not going to read the passage in full, but I'm referencing here Mark 10, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and on, I think to about 30 or 31 is the passage of the rich young man. And basically there's the rich man. Christ is challenging this man to live the commandments. You know, Christ says, you know the commandments, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, etc. And the man comes back and says, well, you know, I'm doing all that. You know, I've obeyed all these from my youth. And then Christ says, okay, good. You're lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor. And the second that Christ kind of gives him that command to sell what he has and give to the poor, that's when he turns away and went away sad because he had many possessions. So this young man, or man, depending again on the synoptic, I think in Mark's gospel it doesn't talk about a young man, but that's biblical. That's a whole other show we can do. But this man was turned away from following the Lord because he had gained so many possessions. Yet he was also living all these commandments. And I think, you know, we kind of referenced this a little earlier, like in our tithing, in our relationship with money and giving monetarily, like we kind of tend to compartmentalize, you know, like our money is going to remain in this one little box, and like our desire to, you know, pursue virtue is going to stay in this one little box, you know. But no, I think what the Lord is telling us through the rich young man passage is that it all fits together. Like you can't gain all these possessions and not give them away. You can't do that and also, you know, live a life of virtue. Like you have to be able to die to yourself in the image of Christ a little bit in order to, you know, kind of live this wholesome life of faith. So I think the parable of the rich man really kind of highlights that for us, at least this part, that, you know, we can't be shy away. They're not mutually exclusive, living a life of virtue and living a life of sacrifice.
You preached a homily recently in which you touched on the image of sanctification and how sanctification is a personal development, transformation between the person who is being sanctified and the God who sanctifies.
It takes your whole self.
Right. It's not, you can't compartmentalize that. Well, I have 13.2% of sanctity to give you over here, and then I have 5% over here. That's not how it works.
Yeah,
it's the person. It's the totality of
the person.
The
10 virgins. Yeah, you can't give part of yourself, or you can't ask for the Lord to only look at a part of yourself in the question of sanctification and salvation. No, it's like everything. And I think that's kind of wrapping this all and putting a nice bow on it, is what we are doing when we are tithing is living in the image of Jesus Christ, who lived a life of kenosis, of self-emptying. We get that great, you know, the passage from Philippians, you know, Christ who emptied himself. And that is what we are striving to do. That's the spiritual key, the hermeneutical spiritual key here, is that anything, our tithing, you know, our sacrifice is meant to emulate and image God who himself became poor. That's the incarnation. We're living the incarnation when we desire to give away our earthly possessions. We are literally doing what we should be doing, you know, when we are giving away our possessions. We're connoting ourselves. We're living in this reality, and it's just such a beautiful thing. And the more you think about it, and the more you can kind of make these connections and not think about tithing as just, as we kind of started the show with,
cut a check.
Just cutting a check. You know, the more we can grow in our spiritual lives, because we have to empty ourselves.
Father, I need this. I need the tax deferment. Well, and those are good things. We're not saying they're not. But I love how you pointed that out. You're kind of wrapping the bow on that. Folks, go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 for a full context of what Father said about this idea of God in Christ becomes poor, so that in him we might become rich. And God loves a cheerful giver. And so we are so blessed in this diocese, amazing people like yourselves that listen. You know, we give not out of compulsion, we give out of love. That's the key thing. So Father, you're going to kind of wrap us up.
Yes, we just thank you for listening. We send our prayers to you as you consider your financial obligations and also your spiritual life. And we just continue to ask for the Lord to send his blessings upon the Archdiocese of Mobile and the listeners of Archangel Radio and Water Cooler Catholicism. So thank you, and we will see you next time.